You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Thursday, everybody. It's the Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Scott Angle. And don't look now, but Canadian Kindness is back. Who's that over there?
Oh, baby. Like, what's up, fellas?
Chris Meany, of all people. Back in the saddle.
Yeah, the guy with the most inapplicable last name in the fantasy industry. There's nothing mean about him.
Or you just wait.
I've listened.
It's true. I don't have too many mean bones in my body, but...
No.
That's all right.
That's like Corey Parsons' last name being Silence.
Yeah, that wouldn't work, would it?
Yeah.
No, we got Chris. I think Chris and I got to it, like, I'd say a 6 out of 10 one day. I think that's the worst I ever got you to, Chris.
Yeah, I think that was it. I'll never forget either. I think we were back and forth about Richardson and maybe Juju Smith-Schuster. And then it just cooled down. Like, it was just a couple heated points. Then I think you made yours, and I was like, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good point, Jake. And that was it.
And that was the end of it. It wasn't like the punk rock conversation I was having with Joe.
Oh, no, I had to sit back and put my feet up and just let you guys go at it.
Yeah, Scott, that day was like kind of like when Mommy and Daddy are arguing in the kitchen. That's kind of like what Chris was sitting over there watching.
Yeah, that's what would have happened, yeah.
All right. We'll see. You're probably going to see some of that between you and me. We'll see if he can get involved as much. But we are going to talk plenty of football today because still free agents are coming through the pipeline. We got receivers we never got to yesterday, a few more that came in. Another quarterback is off the market. Not that Bills fans are probably too excited about it, but we will talk about that as well. And fantasy baseball because we have to get you ready for that. Fantasy baseball season is about 2 weeks away now. So it starts on a Thursday this year, everybody. Pay attention for that. But should we just go to the quarterback? Because we've got all the quarterbacks covered. You know what? We will go to the quarterback. The Bills got their quarterback, Scott. They got A.J. McCarron.
Yeah. For all reports out of Buffalo, it's going to be a bridge to probably a rookie here, or at least compete with a rookie. In 2015, he started 3 games, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Didn't perform badly. Showed he can manage a game and make some throws here and there. But I think NFL front office people probably know more about what he could potentially do as a starter than we can. But obviously, he's not top tier. There's still a lot of reports that Buffalo may still trade up to get a quarterback. So McCarron's window is now, and it's going to be very short. I don't know if he's even going to go drafted in a lot of fantasy leagues.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Maybe, you know, 2 quarterback leagues. I agree, Scott. I think the Bills do trade up. You know, they've already traded up. I think they're going to continue to make some moves and maybe get into that 2 spot. But, you know, for me, I'm kind of excited to see what he can do. You know, he's been behind Dalton. But at the end of the day, like, Buffalo is just not that appealing. So there's not a lot of weapons there. So I don't expect him to be off the charts here. But I do expect Buffalo to be looking for a quarterback. But at the end of the day, like, let's see what AJ can do. This guy's been buried. Maybe he's got some game. I'm all right with Buffalo making this move.
Yeah, I definitely think this doesn't prohibit them from going and getting their quarterback, whether they try to stay with their pick they acquired from the Bengals or do trade up, as you said, Scott. That's going to be a team to watch, obviously, anywhere from 2 picks 2 through 7 or 8. And it looks like they could try to jump up and get somebody. But, you know, that maybe worst-case scenario, or best-case scenario, I should say. Best-case scenario would be worst-case scenario. A.J. McCarron comes out and balls out. And now all of a sudden you drafted a quarterback and you're kind of doing what the Patriots have done for the past couple of years, of trading one of your quarterbacks for value in the future. It's a nice problem to have. I think that what you said, Scott, is the biggest question is the front office is no more than we do. We can speculate all we want. Nobody really has a real handle on what McCarron's going to be. But to what you said, Chris, you know, I want the explanation. I wish LeSean McCoy would come out and tweet it because he says, man, it's a business yesterday. And that we were all like, oh, my God, is LeSean McCoy getting cut? Like, what's going on? And that's the only talent they have anyway.
He's pretty vocal. He wants Touchdown Nick, and he's been trying to recruit him, you know, ever since before the Super Bowl. And so Shady's, I mean, Macklin, you saw him last year. You have people that follow him on social media and Instagram. And you're right, Jakey, you know, he talks a lot, and he's not afraid to. And I know last year he was trying to recruit Jeremy Maclin. He's trying to recruit him again. He wants some of his boys that he's familiar with. So for AJ McCarron, maybe this doesn't jump off the page for him. I'm sure he wants to compete. He's getting this guy, he's just coming off. He hasn't even won a playoff game ever, right? I mean, he wants to compete. He's at the point of his age where he wants a legitimate starting quarterback, but that's not going to be the case here in Buffalo. Not this year.
Scott, how high is Kelvin Benjamin draftable with AJ McCarron?
I'd probably say wide receiver 3 right now, because we really don't know what McCarron is going to be, but that'll probably be his go-to guy. We've seen with Benjamin, there's a lot of inconsistency in the past. I would say high-end wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, he's been very disappointing, to Scott's point. He's been inconsistent. He looks like he comes up in a couple touchdown games, then backs up. You can't even see him on the field. Where is he? Injuries have been an issue, health, just staying competitive, all that. All those things that you don't want to hear about it, you've heard about Kelvin Benjamin over the past couple of years. But he definitely will be AJ's go-to guy. I think maybe slight upside to be a 2, but 3 is fair.
Can we get Brett Musburger to call all the Buffalo Bills games now so we can make it all awkward? Can we do that?
Yeah. Why would that be awkward?
All right. You don't remember when he went on and on the broadcast about Catherine Webb? About AJ McCarron's now wife, at the time girlfriend, and made it all weird.
So I live close to Buffalo.
I remember that, yeah.
And I'm in a chat group with some Bills fans, and initially they were like, AJ, okay, well, at least Catherine Webb's a little bit closer to us now.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy.
There you go. But like I said, just have Musburger talk about the team. All right, so Scott, yesterday we talked about all the running backs, but one that wasn't signed by the time we were off the air was not AJ McCarron. It was Jerick McKinnon, another one with a Mick in his name. Jerick McKinnon's to the 49ers. I'll put it this way, Scott. I'll give you a quick synopsis of what I wrote up over on the Roto Expert site and the free agency tracker is prepared for him to be overdrafted, because the fantasy world and the real world are two different things, and you know this. The fantasy world has been clamoring, give Jerick McKinnon the touches, get Jerick McKinnon the touches. Oh, look, Jerick McKinnon's going to the 49ers. He's going to have Kyle Shanahan and the touches. And what I likened it to, Scott, was Lamar Miller. When everybody in fantasy was clamoring for Lamar Miller to get more touches with the Dolphins, he gets more touches, and he doesn't do well with them. Jerick McKinnon is a very slight frame, and Jerick McKinnon, where he had 20-plus touches in a game, actually didn't perform that well on a per-touch basis, similar to Lamar Miller when he was finally given the 20-plus touches. When you keep him in that 15 range, Lamar Miller's great. When you get him up to that level where he's the lead option, he's not so good. And I think that my comparison was, to see if you agree with Scott, as I said, he can beat Tevin Coleman for the 49ers. But that means he's probably going to get about 15 touches a game, and they're going to add a compliment. Jerick McKinnon is not a fringe RB1 because he's playing with the 49ers that everybody want to put in the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, the opportunity is there, but opportunity doesn't always mean that it's going to lead to ideal production. I always say that, and, the offseason isn't over. Maybe they could draft a running back or even sign a DeMarco Murray to go with him. I would doubt DeMarco Murray, but maybe some lower range physical running back could be LeGarrette Blount. Maybe you have a combination of LeGarrette Blount and Jerick McKinnon. McKinnon certainly flashed last year; was more impressive than I thought he would be. He's a natural athlete who's still learning how to play football, I believe. And he flashed. Like, he had a huge game against the Bears last year. He had some good receiving games, but he's not a goal line runner. But still, give this guy the opportunity to get into a rhythm. You don't know what he can do. He's a wild card. You don't know if there's a ceiling there, but you just don't know what the floor is.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a back, to your point, Jake, when you brought him up, about a guy who's going to get 15 to 18 carries. And he came onto the scene early. It was double-digit carries, almost 100 yards, touchdown, and then he kind of cooled off. But we know he can catch over 50 catches from him. We know that Shanahan's got a great offense, and I agree with you said overdrafted, because everyone just loves this team, right? Jimmy's going to get overdrafted. Goodwin's going to get overdrafted. But to your point as well, Scott, I don't think they're done. Blount is a good guess. They're going to go and get another back. Maybe Joe Williams. Maybe we'll see him. He's okay. They drafted him last year. We didn't get to see him. Maybe he'll pop out and be something. But McKinnon's going to be that. He just can't handle that full workload. But he is going to be involved. And I'll be interested in PPR formats. I'll say that.
Oh, there's definitely some more appeal in PPR than standard for sure. And I think the biggest thing is I have a feeling this entire offense from top to bottom is going to be overdrafted next year, from Garoppolo to McKinnon to whatever they finish doing at wide receiver. I mean, up and down the line, this team is just going to be – the hype around it is off the charts. I mean, honestly – I tell you right now, like, Scott, this isn't trying to be like, oh, look at me, I said blah, blah, blah. It's just the way, if I'm putting the two rosters next to each other, if I'm saying, let's take the 53-man roster versus the 53-man roster and let's look at them side by side, as of today, I think the Browns have more talent from top to bottom than the 49ers do.
That's interesting. You know, they've signed a lot of proven talent. They have Carlos Hyde. They have Jarvis Landry. They have Josh Gordon. If you're talking about the skill positions, yeah, you know, the 49ers really still don't have a whole lot on defense. But, you know, I think it's still debatable which team has the better quarterback. But I think most people would lean Garoppolo.
Yeah, I'd lean Jimmy there, yeah. But all the other skill positions.
Garoppolo
right,
still got to prove it, though. He still has to.
Yeah, he still has to. That schedule towards the end of the season is pretty weak for him. That's where the hype
I'd say
is.
This. Here's my first disagreement with Chris Meany. Schedule towards the end of the season based on last season means absolutely nothing in March. It takes us about 4 weeks to know what the schedule really be like. Schedule analysis based on last year is useless.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, because everyone loves Jimmy off of those last few games when he played garbage teams.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the upcoming schedule.
Oh, no. I'm saying last year, towards the end of the last few games.
Yeah, I agree
Jimmy's
with you then. It's
off.
Like, okay, we're fine then, because those were five games in which they didn't matter. There was no pressure on them. It's a lot different when you come out at the beginning of the season, you're the guy, and coordinators and coaches on the opposition side have spent all offseason watching film of you.
Well, Jake and I were joking before the playoffs even started. They had some rankings on a site, and Garoppolo was their fifth quarterback. We hadn't
Chris Ventra thinks he's top five.
Wow, that's ludicrous.
Yeah,
that is insane. But yeah, if you're looking at it, I mean, you'd say Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson versus Jerick McKinnon in question mark. I'm taking the Browns. You tell me Josh Gordon, Sammy Watkins, Corey Coleman versus Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin, and question mark, I'm taking the Browns. David Njoku versus either Celek or the other one I can't think of off the top of my head. Either way, I'm taking Njoku, the offensive line's better. And as you mentioned, the defense overall is definitively better. As of today, if you told me head-to-head, the only thing that the 49ers have for me, in my opinion, is Jimmy Garoppolo.
I know you guys talked backs yesterday, and we're talking Hyde here now. Were either of you surprised with the Hyde? It's almost like they just have the money. They're sick of losing. They want to sign some guys. They got money. Let's spend it. Let's get some players in here who can play. But do either of you still think that they're going to draft Barkley one?
I don't. Not now. I was actually surprised by it as well. I mean, but the reason I don't is because they're already talking about working on a long-term deal extension for Duke Johnson. And Duke Johnson, as we've seen, is a very talented running back. He's not somebody that should be the lead by any question, but talented. And then you bring in Carlos Hyde, whose talent has never been a question. It's just been his health. I don't see why you then invest capital on Barkley as one of your first two picks. I still think they're going for their quarterback of the future, obviously. I'd say the other one should be Fitzpatrick or Bradley Chubb or anything like that, or even trade back. I don't see Barkley at this point, and it surprised me. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, after getting Hyde, you know, you're not going after Barkley. You know, they also made a move to retool the offensive line as well. If I think the signing of Hyde signals that they're thinking what a lot of other teams think, which makes sense in today's NFL. It's easier to find a franchise or a very good running back than it is to find a quarterback. That said, and I know Jake and I debated on this yesterday, I still think the Giants and good thing, Jake, they signed Nate Sauter yesterday. They got a lineman. You know, I still think that puts them in position to possibly take Barkley at number two. It may happen, it may not happen, but I would not be shocked if the Giants take Barkley, but I could also see him falling all the way to seven for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I could definitely see that too. All right, the other running back from yesterday was Rex Burkhead, back with the Patriots, didn't find a new team. Real quick here, does this mean a lot to you, Chris? I mean, this is the Patriots. The one good thing here is, at least as of right now, there is no Deion Lewis, so maybe Burkhead, if he's healthy, gets more touches next year. Is this just the Patriots and this is the Patriots and this is the Patriots? I don't care.
It's a little bit of the Patriots. The Patriots, I don't care. But to your point, Lewis is gone, so that's great. I like Rex Burkhead, and I don't know if you remember me, you, and Joe talking a lot. I was like, Rex Burkhead is the guy that I thought would emerge from this offense. I liked what I saw from him in Cincinnati towards the end of his stint there. I think he can play. We saw he's a goal line guy, but the Patriots are not done here. I'm not sold on Mike Gillisley. They'll probably bring in another guy or two, and then we'll have to like temper our expectations. But I think Burkhead can play.
Scott.
Yeah, Burkhead, I think we know what he is pretty much, and he had some very good games down the stretch. Situational guy with a New England running back, you're never going to know for sure. There were some games I put him in after a good game, and he sort of hurt me. But they like him a lot with Deion Lewis. That might be gone. There might be more opportunities for reps.
Yeah, there definitely could. Even if they stay right now, I can see them adding somebody in the draft, even undrafted running back, and that person will be in the mix anyway because it is the Patriots, as we continue to say every single year. Real quick, before we hit the break, make sure if you want to get involved in DFS, go check out fantasyfactor.com. It's the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and the best part is single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor has fun contest always going on. $100,000 home run derby this year and an NCAA bracket going on right now. Simply enter fantasyfactor.com. Go check them out for sure. We're all over there. And we'll all be back right after the break. It's Jake Seely, Scott Engel, and Chris Meany now. It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays, is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Controlled Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
The RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2018 is here and better than ever. Packed with a deluxe suite of articles from our award-winning analysts, this year's edition also features a brand new Slack channel, an improved cheat sheet generator, and our most accurate projections ever. We take you from draft day to championship week. Enter promo code FNTSY at checkout for a discount on your RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package.
Hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Pisapia. Baseball is back, and that means the Fantasy Baseball Black Book is back as well. It's me. It's Paul Spohr writing starting pitching profiles. It's Jake Seely. It's Sammy Reed writing DFS. It's a whole lot of greatness right here for you. You can get the new Fantasy Black Book for baseball on Amazon, on iTunes. You can get it in paperback. You can get it for your Kindle. You can get it anywhere you want, but make sure you get it, because once you go Black Book, you never go back.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I'd still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors, so you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today. Unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
Fantasy Sports News Desk, sponsored by New York Daily News.
The Giants sign a former New England Patriot offensive lineman, Nate Solder. This is a big move. This is going to help the Giants out if he stays healthy.
Solder is one of the most respected linemen in the entire league. The Giants really needed to improve their offensive line, and now they get an anchor.
If they can keep Odell Beckham Jr. on the field and stop making videos, it could change really quick.
Don't tell that to Jake Seely. He's all doom and gloom.
Weekdays, 6 a.m. Eastern. Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Roto Experts Radio on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is return of the Chris Meany of the Canadian Kindness. It is Jake Seeley and Scott Angle helping you get ready for everything fantasy-wise, baseball and football, mostly football, just for yesterday and today. It'll be a lot of baseball next week. We are going to get to baseball today as well, but of course free agency is kind of capitalizing all our interest right now. Real quick before we get to the wide receivers, Eric Ebron, he's gone. He's gone from the Lions. Is it going to matter, in your opinion, Scott, where he signs at this point? Or do you still have any hope for the fact that he's only 25 years old, still has all this talent, or is it just we've seen way too much of the fact that he just doesn't have any hands?
Sounds like the scouting report from last preseason and the preseason before that. You know, this guy's probably going to go end up being Jared Cook Jr. He's going to bounce around and flash some potential here and there, and I'll still never want him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, with a little spin of, you know, another year, these tight ends, it typically takes them a little bit to figure it out. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you guys. Talent is so – he's really frustrating to watch. I mean, you see him get some usage. You see him get 10 catches, 94 yards, and he has back-to-back games with the touchdown, and then he just doesn't show up. He catches one of seven or eight targets. So the hands, it's an issue. Interested to see where he goes, but he's not going to be on my fantasy radar.
Yeah, I think they'll just 6 years from now, there will still be some things happening. People talking about Eric Ebron's potential breakout and Corey Parson like still talking about how enamored he is with Sammy Watkins.
The year is 2030. Eric Ebron's a sleeper.
Yes. 2050, hey, Eric Ebron the second, you know.
Yeah. We'll see. We didn't get to one tight end, Scott. We did talk about Jimmy Graham. I just realized this. We didn't talk about Trey Burton, though, who Trey Burton now has a new home as a starting tight end for his new team. When he replaced Zach Ertz last year, when Zach Ertz missed any time, performed extremely well, gives them a nice red zone presence. He's a threat, basically a matchup issue, most spots on the field. Is Trey Burton a tight end one? Because I think he is. I think just this move alone, he's in the tight end one conversation.
It certainly has the potential to be there. You know, they're building everything about around Trubisky to be successful now with Allen Robinson, Trey Burton. And they also have Adam Shaheen, who they still might go to in the red zone. I think he's kind of have to earn it. I can't just say he's a tight end one because, look, the talent is there. But how proficient is Trubisky going to be as a passer? In terms of volume and fantasy production, I think that remains to be seen. So I'll say tight end number two with the potential to be a number one.
Yeah, I think Trubisky, you know, that's the biggest thing. Like, and I think, you know, they've done a good job, Chicago, and surrounding him by some weapons and Taylor Gabriel as well, two backs who can play and can catch. I'm interested in this Chicago offense. And Burton can play. And just for a guy who's, you know, you didn't see much from him, for him to get a 4-year, $32 million deal and a lot about a dozen teams into him, that just proves that everybody thinks that he can play and that he has skill. And you're right, Jake. Every time he filled in for Zach Ertz, he scored a touchdown. Let's just put it that way. Every time, the two games that he filled in, he had a touchdown. He can catch. He's a big body, red zone guy. So there's a lot of weapons around, but I do think he has the upside to be a tight end one.
I definitely think so. Like I said, I'll call him a low-end tight end one as of right now. I will say this. That's up for debate, and I understand, Scott, we need to see it too as well. So Fantasy Pros ran one of their articles yesterday and asked me to do, you know, as they ask everybody to contribute from time and again.
Yes.
And it was the biggest winners and losers, or biggest, yeah, the biggest winner and the biggest loser in the free agency. And I, for my biggest winner, I said a lot of people I think are going to say McKinnon. I think the people are going to pick other players. I think people are kind of missing out on the person who didn't move, and that was my pick. The biggest winner, in my opinion, is Mitchell Trubisky because he had his number one wide receiver. He's got a great tight end. They're putting pieces around him, and they're helping him turn into what, you know, I wrote an article. I told you this, Scott, at the beginning of January, is the next breakout quarterback. And my next breakout quarterback at the time, who said I could be the next Jared Goff, was Trubisky if they followed the blueprint of the Rams, which is pretty much what they've been doing so far.
Yeah, he's more mobile than Goff, too. Goff may end up being the better pure decision maker. Trubisky's more athletic, I believe. There are critics of them who still point out the lack of college football experience. I know Tony Cincata's certainly not a fan, but Matt Modica is. I'm somewhere in the middle, lean more towards the Modica side. I kind of like what I see from time. But this is what you have to do as an organization. The Bears are being smart about things. And like I said before, I laid it out. You know, his offensive line is a very good running back. They now have a number one wide receiver. They have two potentially productive tight ends here. They're surrounding him with everything that he needs to be successful as an NFL quarterback. Can he have upside as a fantasy quarterback? I'm not so sure. Because I think he's still evolving. I think he could be a good fantasy backup, but am I comfortable yet thinking about him as a streaming starter? No, I think he still has a lot to prove. They're going in the right direction as an organization, but do I know that he's just going to put up adequate numbers or better than that? That I don't know yet. It's got to be proven.
I like that he can run around a little bit. That gives him a nice added value for sure. He had nothing to work with last year, and people were just all over him like, oh, good job, Chicago, trading up to get Trubisky. This guy sucks. Like, he had nothing, absolutely nothing to work with. There was two games where wide receivers didn't even catch a ball. It was only two backs and a tight end. Like, there was games that.
You know how many touchdowns the leading wide receiver for the team had?
Huh. Two?
One. No wide receiver caught more than one touchdown for the Bears last year. Yeah, it was Kendall Wright and somebody else. Nobody caught more than
one
touchdown.
Everybody was like, oh, Kendall Wright, oh, Marcus Wheaton.
Well, see, I was going to say, we didn't even mention Taylor Gabriel. And I think that's an underrated signing to get him in there in the slot. And we saw what he's brought to the Falcons before. Granted, he took a step back last year, but I think there were some issues in that offense as a whole with Sarkisian. So, yeah, like, wouldn't you at least agree? I definitely agree with you, Scott. I'm not going to definitely say, all right, go draft Trubisky. But if you're towards the end of the draft and you're looking to get the Jared Goff, Chris, I think I'm taking a couple flyers in Trubisky.
I am too. I'm in on him as the breakout guy. It's, you know, it's not going to cost you much, I don't think, in two quarterback leagues. You know, I brought it up earlier with AJ McCarron, like Trubisky. Obviously, Taylor Gabriel's an easy completion. You can do a lot of stuff with him. He's a speed burner, and I know we can joke about Kevin White, but who knows? Maybe Kevin White can have a couple games. Cam Meredith, it looks like that injury is pretty serious, and I don't know the future with him with bringing in Allen Robinson. But I think that's another guy that can play. So there's some weapons here around two backs. Scott mentions the offensive line. Yes, we have to see it. Obviously, the second-year quarterback, but this is certainly heading in the right direction. I agree with what you wrote on Roto Experts. Chicago and Trubisky, the real winners so far a couple days into free agency.
Yeah, but the thing is with Kevin White, he's like the Sam Bradford of wide receivers, and you never know what you're gonna see there.
So he's going to make over $100 million in just a couple of years.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's going to make $10 million a start. There you go. Speaking of wide receivers with Taylor Gabriel and Allen Robinson and all the rest, the receivers that we didn't get to, because we did the Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins, if you want to listen and check on demand, we broke that on Tuesday when everything was being broken on that legal tampering period, because those were the big names right out of the gate. But Marquise Lee stays with the Jaguars as the lead option. Scott, you and I touched on this a little bit, but basically, I don't know if anybody's heard the commercial that's run on this when we were talking about it during the FST show. As I said, the Jaguars are seemingly trying to do the Giants' backfield at wide receiver. They have no true number one. They have a bunch of number twos and a bunch of guys who have overlapping skill sets without anybody just like somebody like, all right, that's who Blake Bortles can go to when the game is on the line. You have Marquise Lee. They're moving on from Allen Hurns, DeeDee Westbrook, the rest of them. I mean, Keelan Cole showed up at times. Like, I get the signing of Marquise Lee, but I don't think that – I think he, while being their lead receiver, still might only be a wide receiver three at the end of the year.
Yeah, it was either Lee or Robinson, and, you know, Robinson had some run-ins with Bortles, et cetera. And it seems like they like Lee, and rather than having a true number one here, which they don't right now, as of March 14th. No. But look, free agency, you know, is
well, they brought in Dante Moncrief, too.
Yeah, they brought in Dante Moncrief. You don't know who they're going to draft. Are they going to draft maybe a receiver of the future? I doubt it. It's probably going to stay like it is here. Because, you know, let me backtrack on that statement. There's really no number one wide receiver out there in free agency unless they sign Terrell Williams, too, and they consider him a number one, which I don't think they do. I think what they're trying to do is something different here, where is, you know, they want Bortles to be able to spread the ball around in different options without having one dominant guy. Their dominant guy on offense is their running back. This is a team that's going to be built around the running game and the defense. You know, this is a team that was built a lot in the image of what the Seahawks did, both defensively and offensively to a degree. You know, because you look at some of the people that were in there originally, like Gus Bradley, you know, that's what they tried to lay out. It's a copycat league. And when Seattle was successful over that 5-6 year period, you had teams copying what they do, like the Falcons and the Jaguars. Strong defense that sets up the quarterback, not maybe one dominant, outstanding wide receiver, although you can make a case for Doug Baldwin in Seattle, but still, they didn't fashion him to be that, I think, and a very powerful running game. I think they're building themselves in that sort of image.
Yeah, and that's what they should do. I mean, Blake Bortles took a step forward, but this is a team that's going to run the ball. I was a little surprised that they chose Lee over Robinson. Lee's cheaper. They did draft Lee ahead of Robinson, you know, in 2014 in the second round. So, you know, they do like him a little bit more. He showed some flashes last year. I've always kind of been a Lee guy. I remember when he came onto the scene, you know, the first couple games he was really good and then couldn't stay healthy, and that was always an issue with him. And there's like a lot of wide receivers for Jacksonville over the past couple of years. Robinson coming off the ACL injury, Hearns in and out of the lineup. So to your point, your question, Jake, wide receiver 3, that's it. Maybe even a 4, really. At the end of the day, this team's going to run the ball. He's not going to score a lot of touchdowns. He's not a red zone threat, really. He's good after the catch. But this is a team that's going to run the ball. Keelan Cole showed some signs. I think D.D. Westbrook is solid as well. He kind of cooled off a little bit, but I think he's a solid wide receiver. They're going to spread the ball around. They're going to run the ball. That's it. I mean, Fournette's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that's the smart way to play it, too. If you're looking at this team, control the ball on defense, control the ball on offense, and that's how you win some games. All right, so Scott, near and dear to your heart, Paul Richardson has a new team. What do you make of Paul Richardson? Do you think Paul Richardson, can he be a number two? Was it just the fact that the Seattle Seahawks offense, and as you mentioned, similar to what they're doing with the Jaguars, is, you know, you had Doug Baldwin, and then everybody else contributed when they could, whether it was Richardson, whether it was Lockett, whether it was anybody going down the line here. Or do you just think that that's kind of who he's always going to be? He's going to be kind of a 2-3 contributor, and for fantasy purposes, nothing more than like a wide receiver 4.
I would say at best a wide receiver 3 with Seattle. They played it smart with him because they knew he had durability issues. You know, Richardson could be a big play artist. We've seen it, but he's also, you know, built like a bottle of Bud Light, you know, and he can easily snap. You know, I don't think he's the most durable player. He does make spectacular catches. He does make timely catches. I think he has to be a piece of what they're doing. Now, Alex Smith threw the deep ball very well last year. Let's see if he can do that again in Washington. But I wouldn't be expecting consistency from Richardson because he was on and off fantasy rosters with who I feel was a better quarterback last year.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be anything more than like a streaming option, a buy-in replacement. You know, you got some injuries you need to
DFS maybe play.
DFS play, cheap guy, maybe the matchup's right. You know, Scott knows this more than me, but every time I was watching Seattle games with Richardson, most of his catches and his touchdowns, and, you know, Russell Wilson threw it up to him. The one-on-one coverage, throw it up to him. And Alex Smith did it. You know, a lot of people say Alex Smith can't throw the deep ball. I saw a little bit more from him last year. He can. I agree. He's like a, in fantasy, like a 5. I'm not excited about him.
Okay, let me see if I can get you excited about this then. How about Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola for the Dolphins there, Chris?
What are the Dolphins doing? Like, what are they doing? I don't get it.
Do you think this is a testament or this is telling for the fact that maybe similar to Kevin White and the rest of these guys that like they're done with Devontae Parker? Like they're cutting their losses and moving on, but they're cutting their losses and say, you know what, if we get anything at this point, that's great, but we're done expecting it.
Yes, I don't mind the Wilson signing. I actually don't. Originally, I was like, okay, put him in the slot. Maybe you can make things happen here. And then Danny Amendola. Danny Amendola, I mean, he's had one full season out of the five. He's in the Patriots offense, and he showed up in big-time games. He's taken all these pay cuts. Now he's getting paid. For me, I wasn't excited about that Amendola, but to your point about Parker, this guy's just been hype after hype. He can't stay healthy. He disappointed. Kenny Stills outperformed him last year again. And Adam Gase has been, you know, he hasn't put up with all this, you know, nonsense from guys like Jay Ajayi. He called out Jay Ajayi and then boom, he was gone. Parker, I wouldn't be surprised if he was dealt or they just moved on from him. I don't understand all. They have so many holes in this team. They're spending money on, you know, these mediocre wide receivers. But Wilson, I think he does have some talent to get him out of Kansas City to put him in this spot. But then you go ahead and they get Danny Amendola. And it's like, how excited can I get about Albert Wilson?
Yeah, the Dolphins, you know, they just keep making questionable decision after questionable decision. And, you know, I always ask the answer to these questions when I talk about the Dolphins. What was the last good quarterback after Dan Marino? Nobody could come up with anything better than Chad Pennington. What two running backs have they had that have been impactful in team history other than Larry Zonka and Ricky Williams? None. You know, this team's always been confounding in terms of how they handle talent. Look, Jarvis Landry was a financial decision, but you replace him with Danny Amendola, who's so brittle. You know, that's a major downgrade. Albert Wilson could be something if he had a quarterback that threw downfield more effectively. It's like you're putting him back with like 2016 Alex Smith or 2015 Alex Smith when you have Ryan Tannehill. And you hear that they want to trade away for Jordan Howard when they already have Kenyon Drake. I just think this Dolphins front office is a mess and they could be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year.
I think that they will be.
Definitely. Yep.
I think they will be one of the worst.
Bottom three, easy.
Nobody's going to go to any sports games in South Florida. The Panthers, the Marlins, the Dolphins, they all stink. Yeah. Nobody cares.
They don't usually go in general. It's a college state. We all know that. But we're going to hit a break here. We're going to come back. One more questionable team when it comes to wide receivers. They signed two as well. And then lots of fantasy baseball to get you guys ready for that. It's Roto Experts.
Muscle Maker Grill is made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
Scout Fantasy Sports.
You guys, as you get older, you start losing your marbles there, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and it requires time and effort. Make sure you hit waivers.
Could you imagine being 70 years old and having to hit waivers on Sunday night?
I know. Oh, it's 8 o'clock. My waiver deadline is about to pass, and I forgot. I got to change my diaper and then do waivers. Oh, man, Yuri's Familiar just blew a save. Got to get AJ Ramos.
Let me run downstairs and make the move.
Weekdays, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
Fantasy Freestyle.
Isn't Tyreek Hill the deep threat for the Kansas City Chiefs? Do you like Sammy Watkins for the Chiefs as a weapon?
He's going to be the guy who kind of takes the top off the defense.
That's what Tyreek Hill does.
But their offense is different than a lot of offenses in the league. They do a lot of stuff where they get guys coming left to right.
Horizontal.
As opposed to going, and they just beat you with their team speed. I think Sammy Watkins is going to be that deep threat.
That guy. And you think Tyreek Hill is
the entire route tree. Any way they can use him to get the ball in his hands because he's that dynamic.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Scott Angle, and Chris Meany. Getting ready to talk some fantasy baseball, have a little bit of fantasy football. Just a wrap up here with the free agency news, and we're going to have more coming through the rest of today and the rest of this week. But the big stuff is pretty much already done. And to also let you guys know, speaking of big things, if you want to dominate and win big at DraftKings and FanDuel in baseball season this year, go to DailyRoto.com and check out their MLB projections and optimizer. It's DailyRoto.com/premium, and you'll save 10% off with the promo code FNTSY. Use all the same tools and projections that millionaire maker Drew Dinkmeyer uses, and the tools don't work just for football. Same site that he used for the top $550,000 DraftKings finish last season. So head over to DailyRoto.com/premium, save 10% off with the promo code FNTSY, and see the results for yourself. As I told you guys before we hit the break, there was one more team and one more man. This team has been trying to find a solution at wide receiver for a heck of a long time, and they seemingly can't find anything. They let Mike Wallace walk out the door, or they pushed him out the door, really, and they signed John Brown and Ryan Grant. That is the Baltimore Ravens, Scott, and I get the John Brown signing because John Brown, based on pure talent alone, heck, we saw it in 2015 or 14 with the Cardinals. He can be of kind of the 1B to a 1A wide receiver, like Anquan Boldin was back in the day for there was Cardinals. He's never that 1A, but he's that 1B, where you give him a guy a similar talent level next to him, and he can really excel. The problem is, we know his injury history, and we know it's unfortunate with a sickle cell trait, but they bring him in there. They bring in Ryan Grant off his, and you can't see this, and I'm doing this very heavily, his quote-unquote breakout season, where he had 500 yards and four touchdowns, and they give him, $20 million? Scott, what are the Ravens doing?
I don't know, but, you know, shoving Mike Wallace out the door isn't, you know, a bad thing necessarily. Only four touchdowns last year with 52 catches. You know, John Brown might be better than that. But the problem is with John Brown, even when he's healthy, there's no consistency. He's boom or bust. And to me, they just signed a wide receiver 3 and a wide receiver 4. Who's going to be 1 and 2?
Yeah, and Flacco had, count them up, 0 300-yard passing games last year. And if they go into this season with Ryan Grant and John Brown, is their 1 and their 2, he's going to have 0 again. I like Brown, but unfortunately, it's to hear what you said, Jake, it's a health issue. It's a guy who can go deep down the field, and Flacco can hit him. I like that signing. Grant did have that breakout. Better than Terrell Pryor. Passed him on the depth chart. It was good enough for a contract, which is fine. But this team needs to figure it out. They haven't had a wide receiver in a long time since they won the Super Bowl, really. And Anquan Boldin, Macklin lost some speed. He's not going to be around. You guys mentioned Wallace out the door. They're going to figure this out. They're going to have to draft a couple wideouts, let's be honest. They're going to have to do that. They figured out the run game a little bit last year. I was very impressed with Alex Collins. I didn't think he had that in him. But they need to keep going here because this is not good enough.
More 13-10 games this year.
Right. How they want to win. That's how they want to win, right? They kick field goals and rely on their defense.
It's so sad. I said it yesterday, Scott. You know this. The Browns are going to win more games than the Bengals, and then you said more than the Ravens, and probably definitely going to be more than the Ravens. Honestly, the Bengals might win more than the Ravens, too.
All three of them might not make the playoffs, though. Tony Sincotta did make a good point, though, yesterday on Game Time Decisions when he was talking about the Browns maybe winning eight games. Like, okay, they've added some talent, but you're going from 1 to 8.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
Well, that's a hell of a move, though. And that's the thing is, if you could tell me you're going to get close to even 7-6 wins, that's a hell of a difference in one season. And then
the way you shine the light on it in perspective, that's a hell of a move. But that also, wow, that's really, really bad that they've been the last 2 years.
Oh yeah,
exactly. But what I'm going to liken it to is the Jaguars. You know, the Jaguars went from the pit of misery year after year after year, and few changes, few quick seasons, they're winning the division at 10-6.
Somebody's been watching beer commercials.
Yeah, it's Dilly Dilly, Scott. Dilly
yeah, Dilly. I know Dilly. What it is. Yes, I alluded to that.
Fantasy baseball time, guys. We got to get some of that in for everybody because that's really important. Drafts coming up. And make sure, by the way, every season – there's thousands of players just like you guys that come to rotoexperts.com and help us make their season a winning season. You can talk strategy in our premium Roto Expert Slack channel and get that one-on-one feeling with our award-winning experts. Dominate your draft with the most accurate fantasy baseball rankings led by Scott the King Angle, myself, and Tim McCullough. You get a draft package, cheat sheet generator, player projections, and much more. And that's not all. You also get 20% off dailyroto.com, which we were just telling you about, their DFS products, powered by Millionaire Maker, once again, Drew Dinkmeyer. Go to rotoexperts.com/MLB18. That's /MLB18 today and save 10% off with promo code, again, FNTSY. We make it very simple for you guys to remember these promo codes. You just listen to the network. You put in the code. Boom. Done. All right. Here's the biggest news that we got going on right now, Scott. Nelson Cruz strained his quad. Initial reports were he was questionable for opening day. Sounds a little bit more positive now. It's a grade 1 quad strain, which is the least severe that you could have. Still, we're talking about Nelson Cruz at this age, at this point of his career, has to be a little concerning in the back of your mind, does it not?
Not really. Grade 1 strain, nothing serious. The guy plays DH. It's not like he's going to go out there, you know, in the field and, expose himself to more injury. You know, with Nelson Cruz, we've been saying it ever since he left Baltimore, basically. Age. You know, we've been hearing it since age 33. And I'm not going to believe the drop-off until I see it. You know, David Ortiz kept doing it until he was 40.
Yeah, 39 home runs, 39 plus, 4 straight years. Average has been fine as well. There's some concern, I'll say this, but Scott made a great point. DH, and that's the biggest thing. He's a DH. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, tracking down fly balls in the field. And for Cruz, what I've noticed is you're already getting this guy at a discount because people are waiting. They want to be out the year that he's going to fall off. But I'm with Scott. I want to see it first. So I think there's already a discount for Cruz in drafts. And hearing this news, grade 1 quad strain, people will shy away from that. So you're doing drafts next year with your buddies or next week with your buddies. People are going to shy away from Cruz because of that injury. And I think you'll just get him at a more of a discount. You know what you're going to get with him. He's going to 100 plus RBIs, 30 home runs. Not going to hurt you in the average. Seattle lineup is solid as well.
Yeah, and yeah, for people drafting this weekend, people a lot who draft live a lot in the now. And I know because I felt the twinge and tried to resist it. People don't want to draft a guy who's injured right now, but if the guy's going to be fine a week from now, you know, you see him drop a little in terms of the bidding of the draft, you take advantage of that.
Yeah, if he's going to stay on the DL for the first couple weeks of the season, plug him on the DL. You're fine. If he's going to fall down 2 or 3 rounds because of this, I mean, take it.
He's not even going to miss that, it doesn't seem. And if he misses a week, somebody's going to drop him on their boards. People are going to drop him on their boards. You know, it's like a few days of spring training.
Yeah, exactly.
So where are you taking him if he's on the board?
It depends on the context, you know that, but I'd be willing to take Cruz in like, say, the 6th round or so.
Yeah, I got him in the 7th last week, and I thought that was just terrific value. The one thing with him, you're right, it depends on your settings, of course. You know, most leagues he just has the utility, so if you only have
how much power
spot,
do you have by then?
It's tough.
What do you need, speed or do you need pitching?
Yeah.
Well, his ADP still is on the 4-5 turn. That's why I asked. That's still, and that's my issue. Is the funny thing is, I was going to say, is I sound like the cautious one of everybody here on the show. Is, and I've owned Nelson Cruz pretty much for the last 5 seasons because I've been with you, Scott. I've been like, there's no way I'm not passing on Cruz. Everybody always just wants him to fall off the cliff, similar to Frank Gore. Despite the fact that Frank Gore is not performing that well anymore, the point being is everybody kept wanting to get out before it was too late. I understand he should be ready for the beginning of the season, but in the 4-5 turn is too early for me given that age, because we've seen players, and I'm not saying that he's definitely going to have this happen, but if you start getting banged up at this age, it just takes longer to come back. And if with his 10-day DL, I don't want to see him getting 2-3 stints of a 10-day DL, and I'm like looking for solutions during that time.
What I've been telling people is don't go into your draft targeting Cruz. Like, don't go in and be like, I want Cruz in 4 or 5. But if he's there
at 6-7, I could take him.
Yes.
Yeah, and the thing here, you know, with the injury is, you know, it's not like there's a history of him getting banged up. You know, with Ryan Braun, he's still getting up there in age, but he's still a professional hitter when he's on the field. But you worry about the injuries. With Nelson Cruz, you're not worried outside of the injuries. Outside of the age itself is the number. What are you worried about? It's the same thing with Brett Gardner. You know, Brett Gardner could be 20-20. He's 35 years old. Other than the number of age, what are you concerned about? You know, is he still putting up the numbers? You can get him a little bit of a discount. If a preseason injury, you know, drops him a round or two, bonus.
Love Gardner. All right. Love him.
So let's talk out about another injury. This one may be a bit more concerning, Scott. Jonas Cespedes. So we heard a couple ago that he's exactly.
You mean Jonas Cespedes, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a wrist injury, and he goes to get an MRI after playing through it for a week. What a surprise, Mets over there. Plays through it for a week, actually hits home runs during this week, and then he says, you know what, let me go get this thing checked out, gets the x-ray, come back. Nothing broken. Supposedly everything's fine. But he gets a cortisone shot, Scott. To me, if everything's fine and nothing's wrong with your wrist and it's spring training, you sit out a few days until it's better. You don't get a cortisone shot. The cortisone shot has me concerned because Cespedes doesn't play 140 games at this point, has always getting banged up some way or another. And if you're getting a cortisone shot, that makes me think, you know what, this could bother you the entire year. Then I go back to that whole 10-day DL thing, and you could be dealing with finding a solution for Cespedes for half the season now.
Yeah, good story by Kevin Kernan in the New York Post about this. One scout actually told Kernan, he said, you know, you have to be concerned about a wrist injury for a power hitter. And Cespedes is a guy who's constantly getting banged up. Like you said, you know what he is when he's in there. We've seen what he can do. He carried the Mets on his back, you know, down the stretch in 2015 to, you know, win the division there. But, you know, he's constantly getting hurt. And you know, he was supposed to come this year into better shape. He came into better shape this year in spring training, talked a lot about staying healthy, and he's gotten injured right away. And a wrist injury is not good for a power hitter. So, you know, it adds some skepticism to the Cespedes outlook. I agree with you.
Yeah, this guy is completely off my draft radar. No chance. And it's not a knock on his talent or his skill. 2016, he would have hit 40 bombs if he was healthy. Last year, played half a season, hit 17 bombs. It's health. It really is. And we've seen it now over and over. And you told me that, Jake, about playing through it. That's disgusting. You don't want to hear that at all from the Mets organization or from a fantasy standpoint on Cespedes. So no way, wrist injury. It's been numerous injuries. You play DFS, fine. Play this guy when he's healthy because he will produce for you. But it's too much of a headache in the first few rounds of your draft to take Cespedes. No chance for me. He's not. I wouldn't draft him at all. He could fall even a couple of rounds. I just don't want to deal with that headache.
Well, he's actually going in the second to last pick of the 8th round right now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's fine because we look where the talent, what he has. It's like this guy has much upside.
Here's one for you. I'll give you a player versus player there, Chris. I think because this player is getting disrespected for what he just did last year, and I think a lot of people are concerned about a crowded, quote-unquote, outfield, which it's really not for this guy, at least in and of himself. At least I don't believe so. Domingo Santana or Jonas Cespedes.
Yeah, so I'll take Santana. He's a guy who contributed across the board. I'm not going in my draft wanting him, but yeah, there's some upside there. That line.
I think he's one of the biggest
really
values.
Nice. Yeah.
He's going to 86. He's going three picks behind Cespedes.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, again, it's just health. I know we can't predict all these injuries, but when there's a history there and there's already one right now, right. I mean, you got to pass.
Scott, same for you. I mean, Santana was 30-15 last year with a 280 average.
There's some skepticism about Domingo Santana. You're just like from when they were trying to move him, a lot of teams just like it. They didn't seem to believe in what they saw. You know, he had a high BABIP last year too. When you know some fantasy experts actually point that out in the 31% home run to fly ball rate. You know, and you look at the minor league numbers; they don't support 15 steals. So I'd rather have Cespedes when he's healthy. And you know what? I'm actually really going to take the gamble that I'll, you know, that Cespedes can stay healthy for a lot of the year. And I'm going to go with him because some of the advanced numbers point to Santana maybe not being quite that good.
Yeah, he's hit similar numbers at times for the minors. I'm going to actually take – I can see it, but I'm taking Santana there. I think if people are just – all your concerns that you just said is why apparently he's just falling down draft boards. Here's one that people just aren't talking about, Scott, and I think it's a mistake. So Buster Posey was out since February 25th until recently, this past week, actually. Wasn't playing, wasn't on the field, wasn't even taking batting practice, got on the field taking some practice about a week ago, got in some games recently, went 3-for-3, but just like Cespedes, got a cortisone shot already. And for the fact that he was sitting out for over 2 weeks, the fact that he got a cortisone shot, yes, you're happy to see him out there, or you have severe concerns like I do? Quick answer. We've got 1 minute left.
I'm not big on Posey to begin with. You know, he's really, really slipped. So just another reason for me not to avoid him.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not in on the catchers early. He's a fine ball player, but you don't want to hear about this. And he's played a lot behind the plate over the – I know he can play some first, but he's played a lot over the past few years, and injuries are starting to creep up on him a little bit. Some nagging ones I know he's played through over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
You guys both taking Contreras over him?
Oh, easily.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, he's a better – suppose he's a better real-life player at this point.
He is. He's a fantastic real life player. The Giants are this team. You look at it, a little old. I feel they're going to deal with some injuries all year.
It's definitely getting a Posey or Cespedes in the seventh round.
Cespedes in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's definitely get more power.
By the way, AJ McCarron's contract, $9 million. He's making less than Chase Daniel. Everybody. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It's the Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Scott Engel, and Chris Meaney. We'll have to tune in.
Blast.
Might just be them two tomorrow. Yeah, we don't know what's going on. I'll be on a plane to New York to see people in person for Tout Wars. Have a good day.